Hi, my name's Julie Mackin. Well, last week's media focus was on the Medevac legislation and questions around whether or not refugees would be sent to Christmas Island or the mainland. This week, if there is any media attention on the refugee issue, it'll be on the coronial inquest into the death of Omid Masumali, the young man who lost his life when, in a moment of despair and complete exhaustion, poured petrol over himself and lit a match on Nauru. While the court examines the circumstances around this horrific tragedy, don't expect to hear much from either the Prime Minister or the opposition leader, because Australia's treatment of refugees and how we discuss it nationally is in a category all its own. On one hand, Morrison desperately wants to keep talking about the fear posed by fishing boats bringing refugees to Australia. He'd probably like a couple of boats to hove into view. And of course, that then gives him the opportunity to talk about how tough he is in protecting Australia's borders. Though he'll also admit now to crying over the poor souls that he has locked away on these islands, which for me, frankly, conjures up creepy images of domestic violence where the perpetrator flogs someone, then sobs in remorse about how sorry they are, and then flogs them again. But setting aside that very disturbing image, the coronial inquest will circle around the question of how Australia treats people in our care. Hopefully, Omid's family will get some answers to these terrible questions. But there is a very real question that's hovered over all of us for nearly two decades, which I believe it is time for us to ask and try to answer. That is, how we became a nation that tortures refugees. And in the interest of transparency, I need to say that this is exactly the question I'm trying to answer by writing a PhD on it. It's a question that needs asking and it needs answers, not only for those coming to Australia and asking for our protection, but also for all of us in Australia who want to live good and decent lives and know that we can trust our country, each other, and ourselves to do the right thing when life really goes pear-shaped. Because something that is almost always missed, actually, it's just always missed when we debate our treatment of those vulnerable little kids and young girls and fellas, mums and dads, is what impact does it have on us as a community to know that we keep voting for a public policy that results in torture? What does that do to our sense of trust in each other and ourselves? And on the facts of torture, you'll be glad to hear you don't need to take my word for it. That's what the UN found, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, our own Senate inquiries, and a number of other reports have found when they look closely at how the public policy of mandatory, arbitrary, indefinite detention in offshore detention centres looks like. What they found is torture. They found cruel and inhumane treatment. This is not a discussion we can have in the past tense either. This is going on right now on Nauru and Manus Island. And frankly, those that mutter about how actually everyone's no longer detained in the camps and are now free to wander around these Pacific island paradises has no idea about the nature of torture. Because here I'm not talking about the kind used by Saudi Arabia and other countries. This is not waterboarding or blinding or battering someone to surrender state secrets or the names of loved ones. This kind of torture is what happens when innocent people are locked away in appalling conditions, overcrowding, hostile guards, hostile locals, clogged toilets, ever-changing environment, potentially forever, where the rules are shifting around them like sand, where one day maybe their claims will be processed, or maybe not. Maybe America will take them, maybe not. Maybe Australia, maybe New Zealand, maybe Cambodia, maybe not. And the years disappear. And daily they are losing hope. They are watching their families fall apart. And all the while, they're reading the same things our newspapers are writing and our politicians are saying. They are reading of themselves being described as potential terrorists, as economic migrants, as illegals, as queue jumpers, and Peter Dutton's current obsession, pedophiles and rapists. Often their family spent absolutely everything they had to keep their beautiful young daughters and sons safe. Those same families hear that these young men and women are being systematically destroyed on these Pacific islands. So in that regard, it's a shared torture. Their families on the island and back home know how they're being treated. They know their daughters have been humiliated and raped, that their sons have been driven to despair. They've been shot at, had their possessions destroyed. Imagine your family being in that position. In fact, that's one of the first things we all need to do. Imagine. Imagine our kids locked away on Nauru. Imagine our dads wandering around in the heat, never knowing when they'll be able to pick up their lives, recover their wounds, regain their dignity, hold their kids again. But to see this situation change will require more than our imagination, although that is where it starts. It will also require some very practical decisions. And the first decision we could make as a community is to bring the running of detention centres back into public ownership. That's how it was up until 1997, when John Howard decided the private sector could be relied upon to manage the care and incarceration of thousands of traumatised kids, women and men. Well, that hasn't gone so well, has it? But if these camps were brought back into public ownership, the torture would stop. And I'll tell you why. Because if they were still in public ownership, they couldn't be offshored. There would have to be very real transparency. The public servants working there, as teachers, doctors, nurses, service providers, would be able to tell all of us what was going on. Certainly not the end of the story, but it would be a very big down payment on the recovery of ourselves as a trustworthy community.